for rowing?
My name's Mark Burke. I'm the director of Churanga, and that's a UK company, and we're just coming to the United States for the first time, launching our Churanga Music World, an online learning world for children, primarily learning classical instruments, just to help them through the first few stages of learning.
So I'm a little curious. I was reading over your material and wondering exactly how you see your program fitting in, complementing, integrating with other music education programs that these kids may be involved in.
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. I think what we've tried to do, because when you're in our position of trying to do something that's relatively innovative, it's difficult to align yourself with one particular method or methodology or published material or published program. So what we try to do is to steer a path for children that is complementary to whatever way they're learning. So what the program is not trying to do is we're not particularly trying to teach children how to play. We're trying to support what happens between lessons. So almost regardless of what the children will be doing in their lesson with their teacher, they can go home and practice things online and discover some things for themselves. But all the time, it will be very complementary to what they're doing in their class. And for their teacher, what they'll experience really is their children coming back for their lesson the following week, having played more than they would have done otherwise. And teachers generally would say that's a good thing, as would we all, as parents.
Well, that's certainly the challenge, isn't it? Getting them to put in more time than just the absolute minimum.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. It's difficult, and I think we all acknowledge, we all know how difficult it was to make ourselves practice whenever we were young.
Yeah, I think that's particularly true of classical instruments. I think for young children, sometimes they take that instrument home, and it must be a little bit bewildering for them sometimes of what it is they're supposed to be doing, because they won't necessarily have a kind of model of what to do. But whereas I think if you engage them through playing games and in doing activities that they are familiar with from other subjects they may be studying or other games they play, then they're drawn into it. And what we've tried to do is to say give them activities to do that lead up to playing and practicing. And the nicest thing is when you see a child and observe them at a distance using this program, and they'll get to a point where they absolutely need to play and practice something, and they say, okay, I'll just go and get my saxophone. And that is all we're trying to do, to get them to want to get it out of the case and want to play. And the fact that we've built in some game-based activities to try to encourage them to repeat things more than they would do, and we give them control over the environment that they've got, and we give them little rewards and prizes for their performances and when they complete activities, it just tends to keep them at it a little bit longer. And I think if we achieve that, even if we just, you know, just add 10 minutes and 15 minutes a day to what children are doing right at the beginning when they start learning, they'll progress through that early stage of learning, which can be a little bit testing for children, and they'll get into the upside of learning an instrument, which is all about playing ensembles and playing more interesting music than complete beginner stuff. And it's lovely to see it actually work in practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, imitation is really a great way to teach, and I gather from reading through some of your material that you present them examples of people playing the various instruments, giving them some idea of what the possibilities are.
Yeah, I think it's so important in Churanga Music World. We try to give them examples of, you know, good practice, really, and inspirational players, and just very good modelling. And particularly for some instruments, you know, that may be hidden away in the orchestra or the band, you know, they won't be so familiar with seeing this instrument played in a kind of soloistic way, and it's quite nice to give them some video and some support with helping them visualise where this work they're putting in can all lead. And actually, we try to source really, as much as anything, fun video clips and fun activities, so that they're just constantly enjoying things and getting off to the most positive start. But yeah, I think showing them how it can be done, and inspirational performers. You know, I think we've all, when we were learning ourselves, you know, we've all been inspired by somebody at some stage, and it's just great to see when you can make that happen.
Mark, you attended the Royal College of Music, is that right?
I did.
Are you an instrumentalist,
yes,
I assume? What
yes.
do you play?
I was a classical guitarist, and I studied at the Royal College for 4 years, and then after that I did go on to play all over the world, really, for around 10 years. I had an absolutely wonderful time at the college. Anybody who's been to music college, actually not everyone has a fantastic time. I think some people find the pressure a little bit severe sometimes, but I just enjoyed absolutely every minute of 4 years just playing with fantastic musicians and accessing wonderful, wonderful teaching. And I had so many inspirational musicians really affect my own progress. And I think what we've tried to do in this, and using a little bit of technology, is to... You can't replicate a person, an inspirational person, being with you with a computer at all. But what you can do is, I think, just try to bring some of that, or to almost culture a spirit of inquiry in young children, so that they want to find out more, they want to learn more. But yeah, I was very, very lucky to have those 4 years, and I would say to anybody who's aspiring to play you know, professionally, even, you know, that route of a really solid music education is just worth everything.
Now, what impresses me is that your program Charanga seems to offer the kids the opportunity to play in a number of different styles. It gives them a way to grow beyond just fulfilling whatever their private teacher might be asking them to do, etudes and scales and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And that seems like a wonderful way to tap that natural creativity that they have anyway.
Well, absolutely. I think meeting children where they are to a certain extent, and you know, some of the music they're familiar with, some of the things that excite them, what we've tried to do at each stage of Charanga Music World is to give it a theme. So there's a festival theme, I think, at stage two. We called it the Glastonbury Festival, best loosely on the Glastonbury Festival. And so the backing tracks used in the pieces that they play have this festival feel, which is really quite nice. It's just brings a variety and something different, I think, to what they do. You know, we find the more effort we put into creating really good visuals, really good backing tracks from a wide range of music genres, children are just constantly just engaged by it, really, and want to do more. They don't get bored. That's what we're trying to, you know, do at the end of the day. Let's not have any boredom creeping into playing the same old thing. So lots of variety. I think that's the key.
Uh-huh. How long has your program been active, and has it been going long enough that you're able to really assess the results that it produces?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Charanga as a company, we've been in this area of kind of computer-assisted learning, as it was probably looked at in the 90s, you know, really since the mid-90s. But in terms of the Charanga Music World and this online learning that we're talking about today, we actually launched that as a UK in the United Kingdom last October. Since then, we've had 14,000 students sign up for that. And the way we work is in working with lots of large teaching organisations. So the reports we've been getting back from our teaching community, who are the people who make it available to their students, has been just wholly fantastic. You know, it just could not be more positive. And sometimes teachers, you know, they're a little reluctant to let go of some of the direction, of the complete direction of what children do, but the vast majority of them are saying to us that they would trade that letting go for the increased engagement that they're finding, and the more practice that children do, because as children build up that facility, you know, they can play so many more things. So, yeah, I'd say the evidence is good, but I would say, you know, we're continuing to develop it. We have learnt a lot, you know, from looking at what those children have been doing. Some things we did initially didn't really work as well as we would have liked, so we're replacing those and adding new things to try to just address those areas where, you know, we could definitely have done better. But overall, you know, the direction of travel is very, very positive.
Do you find you have to adapt it considerably to go from one? For instance, from Great Britain and the style of music education there to what is generally done here in the States, do you have to adapt it? And if so, how much?
Yeah, so that is a good question. On the surface, one might think that you wouldn't need to adapt it that much. Music is music. But actually, I think what we've done is broaden the range of instruments. We've focused in this initial release, certainly in the US, on supporting all the band instruments. So there's been that adaptation in terms of the instruments we cover. Obviously, there's some differences in terminology, which is so important to address. You know, I think addressing all cultural differences is just really important. So it's, well, people might think it's not such a big job. We have put a lot of effort into it, and I think what we've got to now is something that does fit the way children are taught here. There may be different styles of teaching, small group, large group, individual. I think ultimately, children will at some point be at home practicing, and that's the common thread, really, whichever where they're learning. So I think it's relevant, really, to whichever way children are learning. But I've got to say, having worked with music teachers for the last 15, 20 years or so, I know teachers are very passionate about certain ways of doing things, and we are sensitive to that. But I think we've just got to try and meet people as halfway, if that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, just in terms of the hardware that's necessary, I guess these days computers are everywhere, and multimedia computers are pretty much the standard these days.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so funny. When we started out in the mid-90s, you know, it was like old 386 computers and very little processing power, no RAM. The constraints were huge, but today, really, things have moved on so much. So everything we do now is all cloud-based. There's no installation, local installation. Everything is stored in the cloud, so it really is plug-and-play compared to how it was 10 years ago with installation and technical support. We just don't really have any issues with that these days. It's something you, as a company, you have to keep on top of as standards change and formats change, and that takes up a great deal of our time and effort, as you might imagine. But it's as easy as it could possibly be, I think, to just sign in, log on, and it just works.
Well, you're right there on the cutting edge, it seems, with cloud computing. It's a term a lot of, probably some of the parents and some of the teachers are probably still coming to terms with exactly what that means. A typical application of your program would be what? The teacher would make the decision to subscribe to buy into your program, and then the kids ride on that.
Absolutely. I mean, just on the practicalities, what we're trying to do here is, you know, approaching it in such a way that we can reach many, many children. So what we do is try to work with elementary schools, and we would typically, in a typical deployment in an elementary school, it would be that, say, five of the teachers in that school would have access to it, and those five teachers could set up access for, say, 100 of their students. In terms of logistics, it's really the teacher that drives the whole process. But there's no direct cost to that student at the end of the day. It's really done through their school. All the time, we're just trying to add value. It ends up, I mean, it's only about $199 for the five licenses and for 100 pupils. So it is a very low price, and there's not, hopefully, that won't be a barrier to lots of children benefiting from it.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking time to tell me about your program. And as we all know who are music educators or have been educated through a music education program, how important it is to keep things moving along and engage more. The more kids we can engage, the better the world is.
Yeah, that's it. We just want children to love music, and I think that's the main thing. If nothing else happens and we can contribute to that in some way, well, that's great. That's absolutely great.
Great. Well, thanks for talking
to me. Well, thank you.